I heard a joke, and Daniel, I don't think you know it. There are these three pastors in Bible study, and they got to doing a little time of confession, and the one pastor looks at the other two and he says, "You know, I don't know if I should be telling you this, but my messages don't always come beginning of the week. Usually my message doesn't come until about Friday night. And I'm a little embarrassed by it." And the other pastor looked at him and said, "You know, since you're confessing that, I might as well say that, you know, my messages usually don't come until Saturday evening. And the third pastor looked at the other two and said, "Well, what do you guys do during the offertory?" So that's why I go sit down there during the offertory. I'm making notes and such. But I want to ask a couple questions this morning. How many people like to come to church? Okay. Kelsey, did you raise your hand or not? Okay. She was smiling, but I didn't see a hand go up. So that was a good one. That's a good answer. Now, how many people have ever been tired of church? Oh, come on. How many people have never told a lie? Right here. How many people have ever been tired of church? How many people have ever, you know, maybe been worn down? Maybe you've been a little bit bored, or you're not necessarily looking forward to going to another Sunday. You know, when it's a beautiful day outside, you'd rather be outside than in here. You know, I think we've all felt that at some point. But, you know, for most of my life, I didn't look forward to going to church. Now, I looked forward to the before church part, because when I was a kid, that's when we ran around and we had fun. We ran outside, we got all dirty, and we chased the girls. Lucas chased a girl. There weren't any girls my age, but he's giving me the look. She was a little younger, but you know, he had his best friend at church. I had my good friends at church, and we'd run around, and we'd play, and we'd do stuff, and then we'd do Sunday school, and then we'd go up, and then we'd do the service. And you know, one of the things that I loved about Sunday morning was you get all dressed up, and I like to get dressed up, and the ladies at church would say, "Oh, you look so good. You look sharp, buddy," because you're all dressed up and your hair is all done real well. And my hair, before my hair was curly, I used to spend a lot of time on my hair. I'll tell you what. I had this big process. I had to wet it down real wet, and then I had to brush it over. You know, water's coming down your cheeks because you're a kid. You don't know how to do your hair, and you try to part your hair, and then you take mom's big thing of hairspray, and you just go at it, and then mom comes over and says, "Let me fix your part. It's as crooked as a dog's hind leg." I don't know if anybody's ever heard that one, but I heard that all the time. And this is crucial. She had to look at my hair right away, because if she didn't fix that part right away and that hairspray set up, there was no moving my hair. I mean, this stuff was tight, and you'd pull up a little deal. I mean, I would take my hands and I'd smash it down on my head because I didn't like it sticking out. I got over that. But you would you'd try to pull up this little piece, and it'd feel like it was just gonna break off and snap off. But you know that. But it was good, because at recess we played football, and I never had a head injury because my hair was like a helmet. You know, the other kids did, but I didn't. And I don't know if you guys have ever had a lice inspection at school, but what does she do? She takes a pencil and kind of rifles through your hair, waiting for stuff to jump up. I remember going down for a lice inspection, and she started poking at my hair. She tried one spot. She tried to get it another spot, tried another angle, and she decided, you know, lice can't live in that environment. I think you're safe. Well, I hope we can all look back at ourselves and laugh at some things, you know. Back to church. You know, I also enjoyed after church, because if you've ever been to the church that I grew up in, there's this big, long, green ramp out in the front, and we would all go and stand out there, and we would talk, and it was usually nice and sunny, and Lucas and I, you know, we grew up on a farm, so the church was mostly farmers, and we talked about farming stuff, and you know, it made us feel big when they asked us, "You know, I saw you driving the 806 this week." I'm like, "Yeah, I was helping Dad, working on the farm." You know, a little kid being a big man. But you know, we connected about things. We connected about life in a really fun way. I hear Tyler laughing, but I don't see him. Oh, dear. But you know, when it came time for the service, I was very bored. Now, I usually took a book. Or I slept, and you know when I slept, I had, you know the pews, I think we've got ours spaced out enough so it's kind of hard to get your knees up on the front pew so that you can slouch and get your head back. But in the church I grew up at, if you put a pew, or you put a hymnal between your knees and the pew, you could make it work. But the problem with that, you know, you had to do that too because your legs would fall asleep. But the problem with sleeping in church is, I think it's God's way of punishing you because you can never just wake up peacefully in church if you fall asleep, right? It's always a jerk or a snort or something, and then the pew would, or the Bible would come out from in between the pew, and it'd fall down on the floor, and then everybody would look at you, and Mom would be a little bit embarrassed, but that was no big deal, because everybody in church slept once in a while. And we had this pastor, I don't need to tell him his name, but we'll call him Pastor Bill, and you know, he had good messages, right, Boat? He knows what I'm talking about. He had good messages. But as a teenage boy, I don't remember anything that he said. He was a pastor when I was a teenager. I don't remember a single sermon that he gave me. All I remember was, man, I hope I brought a good book this Sunday. So I'm going to have to sit through all of this. But you know, there's a deep sadness that comes over me when I think about my history of my 27 years going to church. And it was 14 years before someone took the time to show me what it meant to be passionate and excited and joyful and demonstrate a life that was centered on Christ and also a life that was exciting to me. And I learned that you could be in ministry and you could have fun at the same time. You know, all these other pastors, they were playing a trick on me. They were making me think it was boring. But you meet the right person and you find out that the ministry can be fun. And there is passion, and there is excitement in these things in church. And I'm reminded of the verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And it says, there's a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven. There's a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to uproot, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to tear down, and a time to build, a time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Turn, turn, turn. For everything there is a season. Well, the turn, turn, turn part's not in there, but you know, it's in the song. For everything, turn, turn, there's a season, turn, turn, turn. Oh, come on. What did you say? This is the Nathan Revised version of the Bible. But you know, that song is where I learned about all these things. And recently, somebody redid it, and there's this Christian station back in Ohio. I used to play it all the time, so I got it down. But I learned that, you know what, there's an appropriate time for every activity under heaven, but we have to remember that there's a time to laugh and a time to dance. And you know what, that time is in church too. And I never really understood that growing up. And sometimes, you know, I think that we can look at church too seriously. You know, there are some really great things about church. And what I mean is that church is meant to bring you joy. You know, the sermon is titled, Are We Having Fun? But you know what, are we being filled with joy when we come to church? Because church is meant to bring you joy. It's meant to be a lot of things for you. It's meant to be comforting. Is anybody out there, church, has it been a comfort to you? Has it been there for you when you were in a time of need? Lifted you up? Felt the comfort of prayers? It's to be a comfort for you. Church is here. We come to church to learn. Has anybody out there ever been taught by something that you have learned here at church? By anyone? It's meant to be uplifted. Have you been uplifted at church? It's meant to be motivating. As we talked about 2 weeks ago when we talked about we come together for fellowship to motivate one another to do good things. Has anyone ever been motivated by church? I was motivated to read good books. I don't know about you guys, but it's meant to be supporting. Have you ever felt supported by church? One thing that I think that we need to remember, and I think that this church does really well, is that God gave us laughter. Have you ever thought about laughter? You know, when I think about it, you can't make yourself laugh, can you? Has anybody ever just tried to make yourself laugh? That's pretty hard to do. It just comes on you when something tickles you just right, and then there's those times when you can't stop it. Even when mom or dad gives you the look. When Lucas and I are at a funeral and he looks at me and I look at him and he starts laughing and then I start laughing and we're not even talking about anything, but then you can't stop laughing because something's funny. And then you get the look and you still can't stop. God gave us this wonderful gift of laughter, and laughter is a reflection of joy, isn't it? Laughter is a reflection of what's going on inside us at that time. It's a reflection of being happy. What we do and how we act on the outside are reflections of what we're feeling on the inside, aren't they? I mean, sometimes we try to confuse people by putting up a mirror or something, but when we come to church, how we act and what we do is a reflection of how we feel about being here. Proverbs 15:30 says, a cheerful look brings joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the bones. And that is so true. This week, it was Wednesday, and Chandra said, hey, it's supposed to get up in the 60s tomorrow. Oh, my bones started to feel real good. That was good news, and immediately I was lifted. A cheerful look brings joy to the heart. Are we being cheerful about being together on Sunday? Are we enjoying each other? And God, I'm not saying that we need to work on these things. I'm not saying, man, Bangor Liberty, you got to wake up! I'm bored out of my mind up here! I'm not saying that. I'm saying that, you know, we're doing a lot of good things, but I think it's really good to really think about what we're doing here and really understand why we come to church, because there's some things that I learned later on that I didn't know about when I was young and I was struggling with church. There were some things I didn't understand about the role of the church in Jesus Christ. But you know what? Church is meant to be alive with the joy of being in the body, knowing that our Savior has redeemed us from death by the power of His blood and by the power of His love and by the power of His grace and mercy. And if we come here complacent and bored and tired, if we do that every week, now granted, there are things that go on in life, and you're not going to be super exuberant and excited every day of your life, are you? But if every Sunday we come here and we're complacent and we're bored and we're tired, it's a pretty good reflection of what our heart really feels about God and about being Christians. And as I grew up in the church, I was never taught that the church was more than this, just Christians getting together to hear somebody talk and try to entertain them. Isn't it? Church is more than us just getting together. No matter where you go to church, no matter how entertaining or how boring you think it is, if we can understand the privilege that Christ has given us, if we understand that we are getting ready for the greatest celebration of all time, and if Christ is centered in our hearts, we're invited. That's why we come to church. The focus of the church should be that of a bride waiting for her groom, because we are the church. And we are the bride of Christ, and He is our bridegroom. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, I love this in the Bible. A lot of people, you know, it starts off in Ephesians, wives submit to your husbands. A lot of guys look at that and are like, yeah, ka-ching, baby, you're under my finger now. My wife has taught me otherwise. But Ephesians 5:25, Christ is teaching, He's saying, teaching husbands how to love our wives as Christ gave himself up for His bride, the church. There are many, many times in the Bible where it compares our relationship with Christ and Christ with the church. As He is the bridegroom, we are His bride. I was looking up some Jewish ceremonial traditions about getting married, and he said that the bride, knowing that her bridegroom was coming, being engaged to her groom, she would put a veil on her face, and that veil would show that she was committed and she was loyal only to Him, and that her bridegroom was coming for her. And she would wait for Him, not knowing when He would come, and then He would come, she would know it would be soon, and take her. And then they would go and be wed, and then they would have a feast, a celebration that would last sometimes for a week, celebrating their marriage. And I want to ask ourselves if the church, if we are the bride of Christ waiting for the bridegroom, what does a bride feel like as she waits for her bridegroom? All of you brides, what does it feel like as you wait in that room, waiting for your wedding to begin? All of you husbands, all of you grooms, as you waited to be wed, what does that feel like? I hope that you're not, you know, as this woman is waiting with a veil on her face, I see a smile there. I hope that you're not bored. I hope that you're not complacent. I hope that you're not whining about things. And I hope, you know, I hope that what you've got instead is, I hope that, well, what are some of the things that you feel when you're about to be married? Just shout them out. Anybody? Joy. Excited. See, guys, the guys that are shouting out, they're getting brownie points with their wives right now, so it's to your best interest to go ahead and shout some things out. Joy, excited. What else do you feel? Maybe a little anticipation? Say it again. Reverence. Mm-hmm. The big day. Commitment. Overwhelming love. That's a good one. I think you should have overwhelming love if you can get past the nervousness. Felt beautiful? Very good point. You should feel beautiful. Maybe felt a little nervous, excited, giddy, happy, joyful. We have to understand that we, the church, are Christ's bride. And what are we feeling when we come together? We're coming together for more than just getting together for fellowship. We're coming together. I mean, we're preparing for our celebration. We can't forget what it says in Revelation 19, verses 6 and 7 and 8. Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Then the angel said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. If you have Christ in your heart, you are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Do we think of ourselves as a bride? You know, this analogy is used quite a bit in the Bible. I want to look at Matthew chapters 25 right now. It's the parable of the 10 virgins, or in my New Living Translation, it's the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. And this is Christ's teaching about being ready for Him. Because it is a wedding. When Christ comes back for us, it is going to be a great celebration. Starting with verse 1. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out. No, they replied, there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to do the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. Sir, sir, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. And this is where church gets serious. Because it is a serious thing to be prepared. Because as Christ teaches, if you are not ready, the door will be closed, and you're not going to get to come in. If you have Christ in your hearts, there is to be great joy and great fulfillment in your second hope, and knowing that Christ is coming, that you are going to go to heaven, you're going to go to eternity, you're going to be with Christ. Unimaginable things. But if you're not ready, and the bridegroom arrives as Christ teaches, then you won't be let in. Don't wait another minute if Christ is not in your heart. You don't know. We don't know when the bridegroom comes. Christ teaches that only the Father knows the time. But what we know is that we are here and we are preparing and we are a bride and we are to be loyal, we are to be committed, we are to be joyful and excited because of what Christ has given for us. He did not die in vain. Are we joyful when we come together for church? Do we understand this, the whole realm of church and what Christ died for, that he loved us so much? And are you ready for the greatest feast of all time? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would work in our hearts, Lord, and just that we would keep our focus as that as a bride who is waiting, committed, and loyal for the greatest love of her life to come and take her, Lord. And when you come for us, Lord, I pray that we will be prepared. And we have not fallen asleep, Lord, waiting for you to come. That we know you're coming. You have promised, and you will be here soon, Lord. Pray that we understand the privilege, Lord, of your Christ giving his life for us. And for choosing to make us beautiful, Lord. Amen.